Ken, good morning to you. I think we've got quite a good line going this morning between us, and it's good to hear from you. This, I believe, is our second radio interview of 2011.
Hi, John. Great to talk to you again.
Last time we spoke, Ken, you were in China or about to leave and so on. You've been in Cairns now in Northern Australia since early January. This must be the longest you've stayed in one spot so far since the beginning of the trip. Had this been planned?
I'd always planned to spend a month or so in Cairns, get used to speaking English again, and a bit of a break after the big push across China, 20,000 kilometre service for Emma, my trusty steed. However, a couple of unexpected things upset plans slightly. A bout of proper influenza, definitely not man flu, and my old friend, of course, Cyclone Yasi. Delays, not a huge problem, I've a very generous visa, and my next hard deadline isn't until June when I need to be in Alaska to get the optimum weather window for riding over there.
Okay, so you've got a bit of time on your hands at the moment, but going back to Yasi, I mean, it must have been terrifying to have been caught in Yasi like that. I've seen your video footage on your blog, which just shows the sheer strength of the winds. Can you describe it for us, and where were you staying throughout this cyclone?
Cyclones are fairly commonplace at this time of year, but I think what distinguished Yasi from others was its sheer size and power, and the fact that it would make landfall, the largest system to do so anyone could really remember. Expected to reach the coast late on the Wednesday night, Yasi became a topic of conversation on the Monday, but really nothing more. But on the Tuesday, things really stepped up a gear, and quite suddenly, the regional hospital evacuated, people stocking up with tinned foods, shelves emptying, petrol for generators, long queues at service stations, serious concerns about a potential storm surge submerging much of Cairns under metres of water. And realising my own lodgings, an old cheap hostel, was in the very real threat, both from winds and possible flooding, I made the decision to move to a nearby modern hotel for a few nights, sixth floor, so well above the waters and the flying debris. And with a sturdy balcony, it turned out to have a great vantage point to watch the storm unfold. By the end of Tuesday, I had all my kit, including my trusty steed, securely stowed in the windowless bathroom, together with a week's rations, so bunkered down, ready to go. The actual day of Yasi, my birthday incidentally, was quite literally the calm before the storm, the winds not beginning to pick up until late afternoon. Spent much of the day helping take down awnings over at the hostel, stowing anything that could be easily destroyed by the wind, or become lethal projectiles. In the end, Yasi veered a little to the south as it closed the coast, spurring Cairns its full fury, but still 100 kilometre an hour winds, mind. Absolutely deafening.
Well, I'm glad that the full strength of Yasi didn't hit Cairns, but what kind of damage did Yasi cause, and what's the clean-up operation like?
For the most part, trees blown over and power down, much of the city without electricity for several days, some districts though for much longer. Further south, Mission Beach, Tully and Cardwell, that bore the brunt of Yasi, utter devastation, entire houses simply disappearing, trees reduced to stumps, as if they'd been cut down by a huge lawnmower. But fortunately, no fatalities as a direct result of the storm. The clean-up operation itself started pretty much at first light, people keen to get back to normal as quickly as possible. Sound of chainsaws as felled trees were removed, but the biggest effort spent restoring electricity, lots of power workers drafted in. Of course, no doubt a much more grim picture further south, months, years of effort to recover.
Yes, and I wonder if we'll hear in years to come of the recovery period that Cairns has gone through. But you've obviously been very busy during the enforced stay that you've had in Cairns. Can you tell us the kind of activities that you've been up to?
Acclimatisation has been the big challenge, getting used to the very high humidity, the frequent monsoon rains, this is the wet season, and the fearsome ultraviolet. You can burn here in a matter of just 10 or 15 minutes. No magic though to dealing with all this, a mixture of open air swimming, day rides and longer trips on the bike. And there's been a 20,000 kilometre service for my trusty steed, quite a bit of planning for the route ahead, as well as exploring the surrounding area.
Well, I hope that service has set you up in good stead for the next leg of the trip. But I think you've also been trying quite a range of new foods there. What sort of Australian fodder have you been eating?
Back to my staple of pasta and fish. But I have had the chance to try some more exotic foods, kangaroo, crocodile and emu, as well as Aussie favourites, fish and chips and pies. So all pretty good stuff.
Well, that's good to hear. How much longer do you plan to be in Cairns for, Ken? And where will you head for after Cairns?
I leave Cairns very shortly, off on a small detour into the hinterland, the Atherton Tablelands, before rejoining the main coastal highway south a little later. Bound for Sydney, certainly, but I think very likely to head for Tasmania. Place names like Somerset and Devonport, just too hard to resist, I think.
Well, that's a really good catch-up, Ken. Thank you very much for that. I'm sure all our listeners will be intrigued to hear of particularly the Cyclone Yasi episode. Finally, we've got a couple of minutes left, but would you like to give the usual plug for your website, Ken, please, and also the Outward Bound Trust?
You can follow my antics, subscribe to the blog, see the photos and videos, send me a message via my website, www.acrosscontinents.org. That's O-R-G. You can also learn about the UK charity, the Outward Bound Trust, I'm raising funds for. They do some really great work with young people, helping them realise their full potential. But they need your donations to help them continue this. So please do consider giving whatever you can afford, which you can do very securely through the website. Even a few pounds a month makes a difference. It all helps. And for the Australian leg of the expedition, make a donation and you could find yourself the proud owner of one of my two mascots, Skippy the Kangaroo or Wallace the Wallaby. Full details, of course, on the website.
That's great. Thank you very much again, Ken. And we'll give it another 4 or 5 weeks or so. And we'll look forward to hearing from you once again. So all good wishes from everybody in Fitzhead and from Ten Radio. And hope the cycling goes well for the next leg down the East Coast. Take care, Ken, now. Bye-bye.
Thanks, John. And very much looking forward to talking to you again next month.